can see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book.
It's going by the book. What book is that? King James Bible, that's what book it is. It is the one it's going by perfectly. It's going to be late before people realize that. Won't be too late for them if they accept Jesus as their Savior. That's what it boils down to. You know, people don't like hearing it. They think they're going to solve it themselves. It is not going to happen. It's not possible. They haven't since the dawn of time. It's not going to happen now. Revolution will never, ever work. It hasn't before. Why would it now? You cannot name one revolution that's ever worked in the favor of the free people. Never. Not, definitely not one in 1776. That never worked. The Magna Carta was the basis for the Declaration of Independence set up by the globalists, by the Illuminati. They were the ones that set up the Declaration of Independence. The Illuminati, the Freemasons, they set up the Declaration of Independence, the model after the Magna Carta, in order to put those inhabitants of the North American continent in slavery. And it worked, completed all the way up until today. And it's worked perfectly. To keep one culture in outward open bondage, it's called slavery. And the other one, a hidden slavery, a prison planet, if you will, undercover. Not to be revealed until the 20th century, 21st century, actually. Now you realize you're in a tyrannical government. Has anybody ever asked the question, when did the tyrannical government actually start? You hear all the stuff today on the news and the talks and all this. We live in a tyrannical government. The police are out there doing this and doing that. Okay, when did it start? Anybody ever asked that question, really? Has anybody ever researched it? I mean, truly? In other words, were we free during the period of Lincoln? will be freed during the period of, Woodrow Wilson or FDR? Did it all start at Truman? Or what president was it that was no longer free? When did it start, this tyrannical government? If you say Obama, I'm going to try my best not to laugh. I will do my best not to laugh out loud. But it certainly didn't start then. Family, it started in George Washington. It actually started before him. It's always been tyrannical, except you didn't know it. They kept it secret. Freemasons kept it secret. The Illuminati, Rothschilds, and all those in Illuminati, the Vatican, kept it secret. Enslaving one culture, then two cultures, three cultures, and they didn't even know it, and two of them did. The blacks, the Indians, were enslaved and knew it in a free country. How do we call ourselves a free country? How does that work? You started the enslaving of blacks in 1600, so we're in a free democracy, free country. Okay, till 1600s, to service tobacco. Slaves service tobacco in 1600s. Slaves beat, raped, murdered savagely. Murdered Indians, moved them out of their land. Okay, so we're in a free country. There's a problem there. Oh, but 1860s, they had Emancipation Proclamation. Really? Anybody ever heard of Christian Identity? Albert Pike and Christian Identity, KKK, burning crosses, lynching here and lynching there. Something isn't matching. And then in the 1920s, 1930s, 40s, and 50s, it's like down south. Hey, boy, you can't eat over here. You got to eat over yonder, son. You got to get your old butt on over there. They probably say something else nasty. But you sit over there where the colored folk eat over there in this free country. Since when? For who? And the Indians, y'all redskins, get over there and at their reservation. But they're free, right? How about the Japanese during World War II? Oh, it was absolutely horrific in this free country. So we got to face up to this. Somebody's got to face up to it. Somebody does in this free country. Democracy. For who? Who's it? Democracy for who? Exactly. Being that the white folk were under financial bondage and didn't know it, and slaves. This is 1933. Y'all didn't know that, did you? Yeah, your certificate authenticity and ownership. Oh, I'm sorry. That's called the birth certificate. I forgot to tell you that. And then you're actually bonded as a slave for $1 million, and the IMF maintains that based on your birth certificate. It's worth $1 million since the day you're born. Maintained in another bank account in Switzerland somewhere. Then they said, well, gosh, we got to give them a serial number. Well, I'll tell you what, let's call it Social Security number. Oh, yeah, okay. So you got a certificate of authenticity. You got a serial number. Social Security number. And you're enslaved, branded, and you work at the same time. With money to pay your debts, which is $1 million, called accepted for value. It was finally discovered in 2006. Colonel Mandel House and Woodrow Wilson, those two dupes, they set this thing up, and they confirm, and as is written in Woodrow Wilson's diary, the biggest fraud Americans ever have been put under. Oh, yeah, they set it up. It's all under a Luciferian agenda, Freemasonry, secret societies. But see, the problem is now, is they want you to know this. They're telling you what they're going to do. It's like a flashcard. We're going to do this. Can you read this? Look at it. We're going to do it gradually. And then one day, literally in one day, when everything's all laid out, it's like you're laying out, okay, here we go. One of those little plastic, I forget what you call them. I get this sometimes. We hit one and they all fall down. Oh, come on. I can't remember the name of it right now. Slipped my mind. And you set them all up and you hit one and they all just go bup, 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 all the way down. When they get all their ducks in a row, it's not ducks, the seven areas are lined up. They've tested the population to find out if they're ready to receive the New World Order. They do that. They test the population various different ways and false flags and so forth. In one 24-hour period, they're going to launch the World Revolutionary Movement. In one 24-hour period, worldwide at the same time. This is documented, by the way. It's documented in their own planning processes and the protocols. When they do that, in a 24-hour period, you're going to wake up one day and it's there, a dictatorship. You see, a dictatorship. And when the dominoes fall, it'll happen so fast you won't have time to even get ready for it. Or at all. See, people say, well, I'm going to get ready for that. I'm going to do this and cook and can and take me off the grid and, I don't know, find a cave to live in and eat off the land, all this other pioneer stuff, whatever. And some people live a little longer than others, and others, three quarters, are going to die. Be imprisoned or be slaves. It's called greater population control to get you that position. And you're going to like it too. At least that's what they want you to do. They're going to set it up to where you're going to want it. Well, that's going to be a real trick. And they actually have a way to do that. People don't realize that yet. I'm going to try to explain that today. Is how they set you up. And when you reject it, which the smart ones will, it's not going to be pleasant, but you have to reject it and not take that tattoo, digital tattoo they're going to place on your arm to buy and sell. It's already there. Look up digital tattoo as I'm talking. If there's some term that I mention, you don't know it, look it up while I'm talking. How about that? Right at the same time, you can do that. And you learn as you go. You see. That border's got you all pulled away, don't it? Got you all tied up. The border has a lot to do with setting up the North American Union. The one thing that Senator Nancy Schaefer, before she was murdered by the government and CIA, murdered her husband and her. Nancy Schaefer, Congress lady, trying to take down the Child Unprotective Service. A bunch of murderers and Satanists live there, work there. She is trying to take them down. And then she's going to go after the North American Union legislation. And she was powerful, too. She might have succeeded in some areas. Child Unprotective Service is there to kidnap children, to use them for their purposes. Get some of them home and protect them just to make it look good, but 90% of them are going to kill, murder, rape. Pass them over to the CIA for use. Literally. I'm not being radical here. I'm telling you exactly what they do. That's exactly. CPS is simply nothing more than a legalized human trafficking organization that's out in the open. That's what they are. And Nancy Schaefer, Senator Schaefer, which was murdered by the CIA. Did I say that before? Yeah, I think I did. Murdered both her husband and her because they were afraid of her. They don't realize that, do they? That the assassinations they commit and the ones they go after, they're afraid of? Well, they can win on this earth because for a temporary period of time. But all the bad things they do, the nasty stuff they do, is because of their fear. Well, they act macho and they act tough and smart and all this. They got 150 IQs, 130 IQs. It means absolutely nothing. Because the fear lies deep in their soul. That's why they got to do all these things, because they're afraid. They're afraid of death. And they're afraid of life. If you're afraid of death, how do you have comfortableness in your life if you're always afraid of death? Because you know you're going to die. It's where your soul ends up is the big question. So if you're afraid of death, you're certainly afraid to live. So you have temporary enjoyment. Getting drunk, watching sports, I don't know, things, short period of time. Go for a vacation, but it's always over, isn't it? And you're back to where you were, back to the same thing. I need another one. I need to go again. You never stop. Can't sleep either, can you? No rest. Sometimes afraid to close your eyes, even though you might have a super secret, screening system and protection and bodyguards, whatever. You're still afraid. And the first sign of old age, the fear grips you, don't it? The fear got you, because you know you're getting older and that death could come any time. If you're afraid of death, then you're afraid to live. If you're not afraid of death, death doesn't bother you. Then you can live. When you tell the truth, oh, I know this very well. Once you start telling the truth and you live by the truth, what are you worried about? What's to worry? It's a freedom that you don't want to give up. When you're under a blood oath, the Freemasonry, Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, Illuminati, you're under a blood oath to God to tell a lie. Hey, how's that work? Anyway, oh yeah, it's true. Then that means you're the slave that's under that blood oath. You are the slave. That's terrible. Terrible way to live. And then you got to keep secrets from your family. And your wife, your husband, whatever, wife. He's a star if husband is not or is. Sometimes most of the time you have a Freemason husband and Boule Society husband, or the Baha'i birth for Jews, Freemasonry husband, under a blood oath. Try to get that wife and eat some star or whatever so he can include her in the little secret society. If not, he's got to keep secrets from the family. Boy, that really destroys a family, you know. Causes the kids to be alienated from the father. Then they get rambunctious and, irritable. Uncomfortable wearing all that black fingernail polish and Wicca and drugs and bullying and all this stuff. And they just get wild, don't they? The wife is not comfortable because she knows her secrets, but she was wondering what kind of secrets. Well, what do you really do? Kind of separates the communication process, don't it? Lack of trust in the family destroys the family, and that's exactly what they want to do. Exactly what they want to do. And it's working. Sometimes I get started. I always mean to try to pray at least the first 15 minutes, but sometimes I get started because there are things I got to say. I have a serious show. I go deep into this New World Order. I go deep into the reality of what's really you're dealing with. And the solution is, in fact, Jesus Christ. And the truth, the real truth, is in your King James Bible. And this is not a religious show at all. This is not part of the Christian broadcasting, whatever. This is a show based on the political, economic, war situation. Because this is the only answer that's going to work. It never, all the others have failed. Every single time. Bar none. No exception. And now they think these secular methods are going to work. Revolution or changing, you know, and changing orders and changing legislation. This works temporarily, but the Freemasons realistically have a tight control on all the governors. Yeah. Governors, senators, congressmen, whatever. They have a tight control. And threats they get if they don't vote a certain way, they will kill them or a family member. That's a promise. Or they'll expose them with a setup. So they have control of them. That's the reality. The speeches mean nothing. Dedicate the broadcast and let's get moving on today. Lord, we come before you today. We pray tonight, this afternoon, Father, on this show, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we submit to you our prayers, our requests. Father, glory to you. Father, we ask you, Lord, to help us to stay strong. Give us that spirit of courage. Forgive us of our sins. We lay them before you on the cross, Calvary. That we're dead in Christ, but alive in his resurrection. Though being born again. Father, we call upon you for that Holy Spirit to be spread upon and about us. Protect us with the blood of Jesus. And Father, to set up divine appointments that, Lord, we can express the gospel to others. And Father, to meet others like us that we can exchange, help each other. And Father, for those that don't believe, that Father, you set up that protection. You set up that divine appointment to bring us all together. Father, we pray for our brethren. We pray for the healing, the bringing together of families that separated and divided, the ones in the families, Lord, that's slipping away. That Father, through divine appointments and situations, that they'll come back home to seek counsel from their family members about the Lord Jesus. We pray for our veterans. We dedicate to veterans, to Father, that your Holy Spirit will render null and void the effects of these psychotropic drugs and these microwave technologies that's being used to cause, orchestrate these suicides. That, Lord, for those that's being led astray because of the psychotropic drugs, that, Lord, through divine appointments, supernatural intervention, they'll be pulled back into the fold. Lord, we pray for children that's being abducted. We pray for their release. Those being abducted for the satanic worship and sacrifice of these moons, blood moons, and the Satanists that are in the governments, in the military, the industrial culture, Lord, that these Satanists will be revealed of who they are. And Father, you take away their sacrifices and to strip down their protection from the supernatural and open them up to the blood of Jesus, that those, Father, to you can bind the Holy Spirit to their hearts and use that Holy Spirit to guide them to your Son, Jesus Christ. And others, Lord, that you can expose them for who and what they are. And Father, to give courage, a spirit of courage to the clergy of today, the papacy, the press pastors, the preachers, the rabbis, the popes, Lord, that you give them courage. You give them conviction to start telling the truth. And Father, to exalt and raise up the King James Bible, Lord, they're being so deceived today by other Bibles, the devils of doctrines of devils, that, Lord, the true gospel come through the King James, that, Lord, that that be preached out to raise up your anointed to start preaching the true word. And guide us today, Father, forgive us of our sins. We lay them before you, and we dedicate this program. This we pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Family, first thing I want to cover, and you're not going to like it, but I'm going to cover it anyway. This situation in Houston that took place where that uncle killed the family and trying to look for his wife and they wouldn't tell him. So allegedly, he shoots them. And shoots the one young girl in the head. Shoots her in the head. She plays dead, shot in the head. And then somehow gets up and warns her grandmother and grandfather, saves her life. Heroic. And then you see her out again, waving like she's in a parade. Big old smile, alligator tears. Something's not right. You've lost 6 members of your family. You've been shot in the head. Now, and then when she's doing this, and she's in the car going down through the street, and everybody's giving her support, and she's got a smile like she's a beauty queen. No remorse at all, nothing. She flashes up, her index finger up, her little finger up, 2 middle fingers down, and the thumb sticking to the left. The sign for, I love you, Satan. Now, why would she do that? Why would she do that consistently from the time she's in the car, waving at people with that sign of Satan, and then she's talking on the platform, she sticks it up, shakes her head up and down, waves her sign of index finger up, little thumb out to the point to the left, horizontally. Now, that's Helen Keller's sign for I love you, but there's a little bit of a trick to that. There's quite a bit of a trick. You see, Helen Keller, fact, I'm not against Helen Keller, and I'm not going over the edge here at all. In fact, documented, the El Diablo sign is confused with the deaf hand signal for the phrase, I love you. Now, it first appears as an odd resemblance, but then you register and, oh, I get it. When you find out the fact that Helen Keller was a cultist and theosophist, and Keller purposely designed the deaf's I love you to be the classic sign of Satan, I love devil. Now, you'll find that Tex Mars Codex Magica. But not just that, you'll find it all over the occultic symbols, training, teaching, and so forth. It is a fact. You'll find that the stars give it. Clinton gives it. Everybody that's on that high level, they give that sign of Satan. Some people call it the Texas horns, but that's an excuse to use it to be able to give that satanic hand sign, the goat of Mendez. Is the origin of the satanic sand sign. The same thing in his rock and roll heavy metal concerts and even country music concerts. You'll have the sign of the devil. Now, when they take that thumb off to the left and take it and overlap the 2 down fingers, that's the sign of Satan. They put it under, it's a curse. It's a way to curse. This is documented. It's like the goat horns. That's what the goat means. The goat upside down. That That's a Freudian slip that Bush was reading on the day of 9-1-1. 9-1-1 is a Freemasonic Druid sacrifice planned in the year 1966 when the Freemasons laid the groundwork, laid the cornerstone of the New World Trade Center, September 11th, 1966. See, that's why you see all these, you know, the cards that they have, the Illuminati cards and all that, and you have all these signs and dollar bills and all this stuff that Illuminist, Illuminati, Jonathan Click, he's a Satanist and he's also Illuminati. No question about that. So you have it on the dollar bill and you all that neat little stuff going on, and you have it on the cards, and you have in the cartoons where it says 9-1-1, long before 1990s. Family, they knew about World Trade Center in 1966. That's why they know that then. Because that was the time that they were planning for the New World Order to be in the year 1999 to begin the year 2000. And then the year 2001 was to be a human sacrifice at the World Trade Center, the two towers, the World Trade Center, twin towers, with that little bubble thing in the basement of it, making it three. Those twin towers represent the Freemasons' Lodge of the Towers of Boaz and Jachin. And in the middle is like a portal. When that human sacrifice and damage and the use of the technology to take those towers down, turn them to rubble and nothing, open up portals allowing demonic entities. That was supposed to have been part of the externalization of the hierarchy. But they settled for certain ones to come through those portals on 9-1-1. They got nothing to do with Arabs. I mean zero. That's why they have all these things. You ever thought about that? Did the Muslims put all that in those cards, by the way? Did the Muslim put on your dollar bill? Anybody ever put that together? How did they know all this before? Did Muslims put it on the cartoons? No. Friend, this was a Freemason. You want to blame someone? You blame the secret societies. They knew all along at the highest level of government. It was way more than inside job. It was way past that. 9-1-1 was an inside job. Just blame it on Bush. Oh, baloney. It goes back to 1966 at the highest level of the Illuminati and Freemasonry, to use as a method of bringing demonic entities, fallen angels, into this world. Now, some of you are not going to like that, but that's what happened. Let's go back, though, to this young girl. All through, and I've explained this before, and look it up right now if you want or not, but on April the 19th and April 20th for every year, and there's many others, but those years are steeped in sacrifice of human beings. Because those are the portals, those are the time periods that are the most powerful in the universe. May the 1st, July 4th, April 19th to April 20th, sometimes between the 17th and 20th. The stars are a certain position. The constellations are a certain place. Certain things in the heavens are in a position to where the power structure of this universe is concentrated. Long story short, has to do with alchemy and all kinds of things. I'm not going to get into detail on that. But when they execute power, energy, death, life force to be expended, it opens up portals supernaturally in the second heaven. They open up, allowing long enough time for that demonic entity to come through into this world. That's what a lot of this is all about. And that includes abortion, wars, or anywhere where life force is expended. They somehow can absorb it. If they can't absorb it, don't have enough, then they channel a human being. That's what the Tibetans, those monks, those bald-headed monkeys up there in Tibet, Dalai Lama is one of them. That's why they're up there. They are like vehicles. They're being used by these fallen angels in those high areas, tall towers of Babel, if you want to call them, Himalayas, to channel these fallen angels and to be possessed by them. That's where the meditation, no pun intended, the mockery. You get it, monk and mockery? Yeah. I know, don't quit your day job. That's what they're for. That is the purpose only. And that's why they pretend to be all so nice and kung fu-y and all that sort of thing. Well, that's what I said, kung fu-y. Because they are totally evil, like the Dalai Lama. So they show you what evil is out front, and they hide what the evil does. Hope you got that, because I couldn't say that twice in a million years. So you see what evil should be. They show you the devil, big horns and nasty looking, and the tail's got a little arrow on the end of it, you know, and the Freddy, you know, the monster and mean and ugly and all that. That's what they want you to think evil is. But in reality, Satan comes an angel of light. So the fallen angels. It's a dialectic. It's a trick of the supernatural. So when you see the Dalai Lama, it looks like just a kind of guy, be like, kind of like your old grandfather, you know what I mean? Just a, like a bald-headed grandfather. Just a good old guy, just real friendly. Oh, grasshopper, I'll show you a team. Yeah. No. Total evil and Satanist. So now you don't have that picture when we see it on TV and on the movies and all this. You see evil and Satanist is, oh man, they got this beards looking thing going on, and they got the pointy little ears going on, and they wear the black robes, and they kill babies and all that. So when you see the Dalai Lama, no problem. That's definitely got to be a good guy. Well, no, not at all. That's how they hide it. Called the dialectic. Now, watch this. Helena Blavatsky. In 1890... No, 1870s. She brought in the first phase of the New Age movement. She brought the first phase in. She was channeled by these fallen angels in the way that I've explained to you, by meditation. In actuality, for Alice Bailey, that did the second phase of the New Age movement, El Moria and Saint Germain are two fallen angels. They actually materialized, and there's pictures of them. And they set up the planning process, that the plan for humanity to be divided into seven branches of human endeavor: politics, education, philosophy, art, all the sciences, everything, religion, and finance. And that began the planning process of the first phase of Helena Blavatsky being the channeled, writing what she was told to write to set up the first phase of the New Age movement. Now, the New Age movement, don't be confused with New Age. The New Age began at Nimrod. The New Age is not in the 20th century, 19th century, 18th, 17th, 16th, 15th, 14th. It was the third generation from Noah and the flood. That began the New Age movement. He was the first Freemason, being taught the secrets of alchemy of the highest level. Well, they try to tell you that Freemasonry was 1717 or whatever. Oh, baloney. It began with Nimrod, who was killed by his great uncle, Shem, killed Nimrod because he was sacrificing human beings and children for Moloch. He's cut up in little pieces. Matter of fact, even they tell you that in their textbooks of the Illuminati. Excuse me. He got cut up in so many different pieces. Oscar Mayer would have been proud. Shem, his great uncle, cut him up in all kinds of pieces and scattered his pieces all over the Middle East, of that area. Save one part of his manhood, they couldn't find that part. And that's immortalized in the statue called the Obelisk. Matter of fact, if you go to D.C., and you go to the statue, Washington Memorial, you can walk up in it. It's called the obelisk. You can do the same thing in Rome. That should give you warm fuzzies. That's what that is. The obelisk is the dedication of Nimrod. But in any case, you got my point. That's exactly what it is and what it was, what they're doing. It's all steeped in the supernatural and the occult. Symbols, handshakes, hand signs indicate that you are loyal to that belief. That's what that hand sign means. Of course, the Freemasons have the handshakes and the hand signs and movements, just like on a baseball field. In Helena Blavatsky, the teaching plan by the hierarchy, that's fallen angels, to precede and condition the New Age movement, the Aquarian Age, they call it, falls in three categories. I'll tell you a little bit about it, not a lot. I got to move on this. The preparatory stage, exactly, was from 1875, it began, to 1890. And that entire period was written down by Helena Blavatsky. When they were done with her, early 1891, just like they do with everybody, Freemasons, like everybody they are working for them, they murdered her in 1891. She was killed. And then came the second phase, and that phase was in 1919. Ironically enough, the same time frame that they were designing and creating the Council of Foreign Relations and the Royal Institute of National Affairs and the birth of Benjamin Krim was all in 1919. So by 1921, by 1921 was when the Council of Foreign Relations, I've talked about for so much, and the Royal Institute of National Affairs by the Rothschild, the Council of Foreign Relations by the Rockefellers, the Illuminati, that's what they are, exactly, began full operation in 1919, the same year that El Moria, a fallen angel, physically manifested and tried to approach Alice Bailey, a disciple of Helena Blavatsky, who had died some like 1891. Well, now we're talking 1919. So Anne Bessette and others had to calm Alice Bailey down because it scared the bedoovies out of her. And they had to bring Saint Germain, El Moria, to bring in El Moria back to her. And he began to dictate to her. She was able to write 18 books based on the dictation by El Moria, a fallen angel. She is given the authorship of the 18 books, but all she did was plagiarize. She just took dictation down. So she started this in 1919. Right after the World War I. And by 1921, the Council of Foreign Relations, that began the first depression that's not talked about a lot, that created fear in America, so that by 1921, that little mini depression, causing fear, caused then, when J.P. Morgan started flooding the market in 1921, after he created the depression, he come in to save Americans, right? So they flooded the market to bring up the stock market, people start making money. And by 1921, his happy days are here again. And that begins 7 years of prosperity in preparation for their pre-planned Great Depression yet to come. Because they already planned a military takeover of the government in 1933. So they had to get people hungry. Well, to get them to buy into the stock market and lose big, they had to create fear. That was the Depression in 1921. Then give them an opportunity to make a lot of money. Get complacent. Sound familiar? 21, 22, 23, all kinds of things took place between 1922 and 1927. to set up the New World Order. Funded Hitler in 1928, Wall Street did. 1927, they planned the Great Depression in detail. So by 1929, all they simply did, Harvard professor, all they did was just call in the loans and say, if you don't pay me all now, you're going to lose your house, car, and everything else. So that's when they started a mass sell-off of stocks and bonds, and in one day caused a crash. Because 1933, they'd set up a dictatorship, a military takeover of the U.S. government. You see what they did? By 1933, that's where the Bonus Army, on purpose and in concert, was not given their bonuses. And then they were chased out of D.C. I've talked about that before. By bayonets. By the U.S. military, against the U.S. military, former veterans of World War I. I've talked about the Bonus Army before. Major General Butler. How they're going to use him to lead a revolt against FDR. Plot to seize the White House, 1934. You see what they did? Create the Depression. A need. Use veterans to march on D.C. to demand their bonuses. Chase them out by military, by bayonet, by their fellow veterans. Get them mad, angry, ticked off. Now they're ready to take over the government because they're ready to go. Sounds familiar? Does that sound familiar? Because they're doing it again today. Exactly. Tea Party. Occupy Wall Street, all the marches are funded by the Rockefellers and Freemasonry. I'm going to get to some details here shortly. See, all this is combined together. It's all connected. Everything is connected. So back to Blavatsky. Helena Blavatsky. You know, what's his name? What's that crazy guy's name? Jordan Maxwell. Whoo! Tessarion, Stitchens, all these guys, Ike. Ike is a disciple of Jordan Maxwell. Jordan, whatever. He sounds like a basketball player, don't he? Jordan Maxwell, Satanist, Luciferian. He loves Helena Blavatsky. Woo-hoo, Lord of mercy. He'd marry her if she is still here. He falls all over himself when he says her name. From Helena Blavatsky, he says this kind of thing when he's on at talk shows about her. He just gets all so bubbly when he talks about her. He salivates at the mouth. That's gross, isn't it? You got my point, though, right? Well, he's not the only one that loved Blavatsky. A second cousin to Queen Elizabeth II, Stalin, and Churchill, a second cousin of all three of them, loved Helena Blavatsky. Adolf Hitler loved Helena Blavatsky. Had one of her books always on his nightstand. He was raised by Helena Blavatsky. Theosophy. Satanist. Satanism. Roman Catholicism. Hitler was a Roman Catholic. It's all connected. And so, Helena Blavatsky brought in the preparatory stage of the New Age movement. The Aquarian Age began. Detailed planning. Alice Bailey, 1919 now, to 1949, she wrote 18 books. She brought in the intermediate phase of the New Age movement. To 1949, 1945 began the takedown of America. Now, if you want to call that coincidence, you go on ahead. That same year, a year before, 1948, formation of the United Nations, thereabouts, and then formation with 10,000 Nazis are brought over to the United States and South America in Operation Paperclip in 1945-46. Man, a lot of things happened then. Roswell happened, bringing the Nazis over, Operation Paperclip, a plan to take over Albania by the U.S. administration, using Frank Wisner, Sr., CIA. His son, Frank Wisner, Jr., is involved in Enron. kind of Enron around. You get what I mean? Yeah. And he also was involved in Kosovo to bring Kosovo to New World Order, to bring Kosovo independence. Frank Wisner Jr. Oh, by the way, Frank Wisner Sr., 1960s, he killed himself with a shotgun blast. But in 1948, same time all this is going on, he was leading an operation in Albania to take over Hoxha called Operation Fiend. Oh, it failed miserably. Failed miserably. A lot of 200 CIA operatives were killed. Kind of just another Bay of Pigs failure, CIA. CIA was made up by partially of Nazis we brought over. While everybody's looking at the Nuremberg trial, that's a dialectic and just ridiculous. Try and do it again with a Romanian guy. He's taking these little guys out of camps or commanders. Oh, goodness. You want to blame somebody? You blame the Vatican and Freemasonry at the highest level. So everybody's looking at the Nuremberg trial. The Illuminati brings over 10,000 Nazi experts, rocket science, psychology, torture, medical, everything, to America. We didn't win the war. We just brought it to us. Well, 1949 was the end of the intermediate level. That means they're ready to go. All these things took place all at once. The takedown of America began in 1945 to 48. Now you see why those of my regular listeners Brock Chisholm, director of United Nations World Health Organization, in 19, he's a Canadian, he was director of WHO 48 to 1953. In 1948, 1949, Alice Bailey finished the plan at the intermediate level. He said the following, they're ready to go. To achieve world government, it's necessary to remove from the minds of men their individualism, loyalty to family traditions, national patriotism, and religious dogmas. So they installed religion to control the masses. Now it's time to take them away. They set up the families to be organized, the families to be, you know, father knows best. You know, have the family unit to be the man head of household, the woman is a caregiver, and all that. Before 1945, it was all set up just exactly right. The way God intended, actually, but they needed that. So now after 1945, they now had to remove from the minds of men to be an individual. To no longer be loyalty to family. To no longer have national patriotism. And get rid of all religious dogmas. They knew it's going to take generations to do that. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, in a base report to U.S. Commission on Civil Rights, had a lot to do with that in 1977. Family, this is all orchestrated, designed, and created. So now in 1949, when Alice Bailey finished her writing the last book, guess when she died? Can you all guess when? Can you guess when Helena Blavatsky, Alice Bailey died when she finished writing what she is supposed to do? You have any idea when she did? Ready, begin. Time over. She died in 1949. She is also murdered. They don't want to take any chances. That's why we put FDR at Yalta. What they fear is a deathbed confession. What they fear is that God will get to one of these of their using and have them to become whistleblowers or start telling the truth. Or to start sabotaging the efforts because they know the inside of it. So they kill them. So Freemasons that know too much, you're no different. They have it documented. It is documented in their planning process, the protocols of learned elders of Zion, chapter 15, Roman numeral X-ray Victor. Go look at it. They're going to kill you. When they're done with you, you will die. And as a matter of fact, quote, as if by some illness, unquote. And the ones that know too much, you will be executed. They will double cross you. So if you're on a blood oath and you're in the Freemasons, you're an Illuminati, and they lie, cheat, and steal, and kill, don't you think they're going to do the same to you? Yes, they will. And your families as well. They will not let you live. It's not going to happen. That's a promise. As a matter of fact, the Bible confirms it. Psalms 34:21 tells you God will allow it. And all the good deeds you do will count against you, not for you, because you've done the good deeds to hide the evil and the lying and the blood oath that you've taken. That's why they do the good deeds. Now, the Freemasons below, you have people there that are good people. They really mean to help, but they're being brainwashed each degree they go up. The Blue Lodge, the first 3 degrees, man, you're cannon fodder. They tell you a bunch of baloney all the way through it, and then by the fourth degree, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, each degree you go up, they will say to you things like, well, I know we told you this in the third degree or second degree, but here's what it really means because your level, you need to know this. And they give you stupid little secrets each degree. That's to keep you hooked. Like Skittles on E.T. back in that movie. Remember that? To keep you hooked. One little secret. But you don't know. They don't know what you know because you're the fifth degree. Yeah, 13th degree. They don't know what you know below you. You can't tell them, but you know more than they do. Oh, yeah? Yeah, you do. Oh, yeah, okay. They keep you pumped up, fattened up for the kill. But in the meantime, they use you because you're a court's record recorder, you're a cop, or you're a teacher, or you're a judge, or you're a lawyer, or you're working some job where they need you to do a little favor for the brotherhood. And you know it's not right, but you took a blood oath to help them. Now, you better help us here now, you hear? Now, we'll reward you, but you got to help a brother here now. That's the only reason they pull you in and recruit you. When they tell you they don't recruit, they're lying through their collective Illuminati teeth. They recruit those they can use for their purposes. Now, if you turn and you say, well, I really can't do that. That's illegal. Or, God, you know, I go to church and now you're not going to help a brother? They will blackball you so fast. Like in 1 second, you look like a bowling ball. They will blackball you in a heartbeat and you'll lose your job, contracts, everything. They'll turn on you so fast, you will know it hit you. If they're so good at it, so good at people at the highest level, how come they don't help their fellow man? How come the Freemasons don't help their fellow man even though they're not members? Would that be something to do? But no. It's not how they do it. Oh, I know you could do good deeds at the hospital and help the widows' families and all that. But that's to cover up what they do otherwise behind the shirt curtains. Man, get out of there. But Psalms 34:21, it says. It says right on the dot, just like the Illuminati says they're going to do. Well, the Bible says it too. Then 34:21, out of nowhere, the Psalms 34:21 says, evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. And it will happen. So, Helena Blavatsky finished it in 1890. She died early 1891. Alice Bailey finished 1949. She died in 1949. And then the third stage, the third level, the New World Order, the New Age Movement. That will be used after the re-spiritualization of the Catholic Church will occur. They're setting it up now. The revelatory stage, the third stage of the New Age Movement, emerged after 1975. And that would be given on a worldwide scale starting then on the radio. and then to move into universities, WSOC festival, teaching people meditation, yoga, theosophy, all sorts of things, new religions, Scientology, blah, 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 blah. The New Age movement, Roman Catholics, look up Teilhard de Chardin, a very, very powerful Jesuit priest in the Roman Catholic Church. Teilhard de Chardin is the father of the New Age movement. Teilhard de Chardin, father of the New Age movement. Helena Blavatsky was the mother of the New Age movement. So they have set up the New Age movement, encompassed the ancient mystery schools of religion before Roman Catholicism was created by Constantine. See the connection? So you had Zoroastrianism, and Islam was formed by the Vatican in the 6th century. So Islam was not before this. Islam was a creation from nothing. Islam was created by the Vatican to control those Arabs in the desert that did not go over to Roman Catholicism. And they used Roman Catholic Arabs to visit, to go by the camps and proclaim they had a Messiah coming. Some decades later, guess who the Messiah was? Muhammad, the prophet. In the same bloodline, royal blue bloodline of Queen Elizabeth II, by way of King Edward IV. His marriage into the kings and queens of Seville and Portugal, the Muslim kings and queens of Seville and Portugal. King Edward IV is the combining DNA for Muhammad the Prophet and Queen Elizabeth II. Whoa, how about that, huh? How about that? Muhammad the prophet can be traced his bloodline back to Ishmael. Oof, it gets tight, don't it? So when you had the re-spiritization, the ancient mystery schools of religion, Zoroastrianism, Mithraism, Shamanism, man, all kinds of isms with the occult nonsense going on. And those Arabs that rejected it, they created, for many reasons, Roman Catholicism, created Islam. For those that rejected the ancient mystery schools of religion, by the 4th century, they created Roman Catholicism, Christianity, to control those who worship Jesus. And then for those Arabs who rejected Roman Catholicism, they created Islam in the 6th century. And in the 16th century, for those white folk in Europe that rejected Roman Catholicism and the popery, they used a Jesuit by the name of Martin Luther, John Calvin right on his footstools. Martin Luther, the Jesuits worked with him behind closed doors to create a religion for those white folk in Europe that rejected Roman Catholicism. They call it Protestantism. They created a religion to galvanize and control it. A watered down version of Roman Catholicism. Then from Protestantism, it just branched out in all kinds of different religions, didn't it? This is what they did. It's called the dialectic. And another reason, in the days of Caesar, that was killing the Christians in the Colosseum. I think I mentioned this a couple days ago, but I feel I need to say it again just to types and loose links here, is they were going to wipe out all those Jesus worshipers, followers of Christ, to kill them in the Colosseum. You know about that, of course. By lions and sacrifices and other kinds of ways. It was a sport. Well, toward the first or second century, things started happening. People started converting in the stands because they were amazed at these so-called Christians out there. They call them the Christians. Man, look at, they're praising their God and they're dying out there. And one dies, no one comes up and praises, sings. Man, we want some of that. We want to know what they know. You see what happened? And so Satan was losing again. So they had to stop the slaughter. And to control them, they created Christianity, Roman Catholicism under Constantine. It continued on, but then it eventually ended. And Constantine is a pagan anyway. Oh, absolutely true. Constantinople, and you know the story there. Then Roman Catholicism started like a cancer to explode, and you know, so what happened there. And the Vatican actually funded the invading Muslim armies in northern Africa for three purposes. We'll fund you and your advance of Islam. The Vatican funded them. If you'll take Jerusalem. 2, protect Augustinian monks, Roman Catholics. And 3, to kill Christians and Jews. And they funded them fully. Problem was, they got to be too good. They took Jerusalem and said, you know, we're just going to keep Jerusalem. As a matter of fact, we want to keep going. Well, the Pope didn't like that one little bit. Here began the Crusades, Knights Templar, and you know the story now. They had to stop what they had started. For centuries they fought then. Now, all this is connected. So the Roman Catholicism hid, covered over, umbrella, whatever you want to call it, the ancient mystery schools of religion that goes back to Nimrod. The New Age was hidden under Roman Catholicism. That's where you get your occult holidays from. That's where you get between 1200 A.D. and 1800 A.D., the Roman Catholic Church murdered 50 to 68 million people. Not a one of them was a witch. John Todd will confirm that. Alberto Rivera confirms this. Bishop Bea. Oh, yeah. You even have documentation of the horrific tortures that the Roman Catholic did. Some to their own people that, for one reason or another, just take land. 1200, 1800 A.D. St. Bartholomew massacre. 16th century. French Huguenots that were Christians following Jesus. They murdered 70 to 100,000 in 1 week. 1 7-day period. Or more, well, 2 weeks. 70 to 100,000. And they had a rosary for it. St. Bartholomew Massacre for the victory. Something not talked about. I talk about it as much as I can. In 1940-41, besides the murder of the Jews in Warsaw, April 19th, 1942, besides that one, you had in Croatia a concentration camp called Jasanovic in Croatia. It was ran by Roman Catholic Ustasha. The Ustasha murdered 750,000 Serb Orthodox Christians, 60,000 Jews, and 26,000 gypsies in just one concentration camp. Ustasha was Roman Catholic troops. Ustasha horrified the SS in their methods of torture and murder. I'd say very few Catholics know about this. You don't know about a lot of this because they're lying to you. Well, the Protestant preachers are lying to us too today anyway. King James Bible is the only true word of God you got on the face of the planet. Jesus Christ is the only way to save you, and Jesus Christ is the only way you're going to get through this. That is the only way, because this is a supernatural war you're in. All this is controlled by the fallen angels and Satan. That's my point. This is not made by man. Let me go back to something here. Very important, because it's going to happen in your life. I don't know when exactly. I don't go into dates, but I can tell you it's going to happen. Now, let's go back to the New Age movement. The New Age movement, covered over by Roman Catholicism, all along. That's why you have, look it up, the occult holidays, Mithra and Christmas and Easter and Groundhog Day, and have all these things. All that is occult, every single one. We've been so fooled. Okay, fine. Well, that's the way it is. Now, the New Age movement is simply coming of age. Helena Blavatsky, Alice Bailey, that's all they're doing, is taking this film of Roman Catholicism off of the New Age movement. Say, here it is. It goes back to Nimrod. It's the same one. They just covered it over with Roman Catholicism. That's all they did. Now they're going to remove that icing on that moldy, occultic cake and come out with the New Age movement, which is the Fourth Reich. Y'all get what they get ready to do? So that is going to be what they call, in their very own textbook, Signs of Christ by Harold Balliaz. They call him Jesus, Master Jesus, Sanan Emmanuel, Yeshua, is a fallen angel. And they say, and I quote, the Master Jesus, and this is not Jesus Christ of Nazareth, by the way, is Sanan Emmanuel, the one they want to try to get you to say Yeshua and Yeshua. That's the trick they're trying to pull. He's a fallen angel and he's evil to the core. He looks like what you think Jesus looks like. He's not him. Quote, the Master Jesus will take a physical vehicle, that means a body, and with certain of his chelas, that's initiates that's possessed by these fallen angels, will affect a re-spiritualization of the Catholic churches. That's a fancy word for the New Age movement to be brought into your face. Breaking down the barrier, separating the Episcopal and Greek churches from the Roman. Now, they were planning for this to happen in the 1980s. It failed to happen. They brought in Christian Science at this time, too. That's your re-spiritualization of the Catholic Church. Some people call it the falling away. Now, they spent generations getting us ready for this by using methods, steps, stages, Iron Mountain Report, methods of control, of population control, to get us ready for it, for that day. You know, even using, for example, comic books. What's going on today? They're trying to bring in the homosexual agenda. That's to break down the families. That's the purpose of how to break down the families. Having man and man to marry, woman to woman marry, have kids, put on TV. If you go against it, you get the NAACP after you. They show homosexuals getting beat up. They did the same thing with Zionism. Zionism was created, listen, you're going to love this. Zionism was created by the Vatican in 1897 through Theodore Herzl. So Islam was used to control and contain the children of Ishmael. Get down to it. Zionism was to seek out and find the children of Isaac and Jacob. descendants of. And who's going to take over after World War III? And that's World War III coming. Is the old Roman Empire again. That's what's going on today. So all this other is to have God to pull away. When you start changing the laws of the land, God is going to pull away from the families. It's called natural law. That's to pull away from the country. If you sin in the eyes of God, he's going to pull away from you because he loves you. Why? Because then it will bring you closer to him. He's not going to reward you when you sin. So he pulls away. Satan fills a vacuum. Your life just goes to crap. And then you call on God. Well, he's there for you. But you'll never do that until he takes something away. Well, when the country changes the laws, head toward naturalism, humanism, God's going to pull away from that country. He's going to get slammed bad. They know that. Okay, watch this. July the 15th, for example, that's today. Newspaper. How do they do this? Well, everybody, you ever watch Archie? That comic book guy named Archie? Well, what are they trying to do today? They're trying to build sympathy for homosexuals and change the laws, and it's working really well, right? 17, 18 states have already changed the laws and all this stuff going on. Well, it's in the comic books, too. Double-sized commemorative issue of Archie, Life with Archie. The iconic comic book character Archie Andrews is shot to death protecting a gay friend in the comic book. Boy, it's getting ugly. Is a 73-year-old redheaded comic book character will die in Wednesday's installment of Life with Archie when he intervenes in an assassination attempt on Senator Kevin Keller. Archie Comics' first open gay character who is pushing for more gun control in Riverdale. Andrew's death was first announced in April and will mark the conclusion of the series that focuses on grown-up renditions of Andrews and his pals, unquote. Do you see how far they go with this? They use comic books, TV, movies, novels, staged events, songs, rock and roll, country music, actors that take certain level, movements and so forth, and you see them not only on TV as characters, but also they start doing some movement like save this and save that, and I don't know, because they take a blood oath to do these things. They use them to control and manipulate your thinking. Right now, Archie dies protecting the openly gay character. I mean, come on, can't be more obvious than that. How they try to manipulate our minds and total population control. Do you know that the Superman comic book, Superman, Man to Become Like God, was a Freemason that formed it, 1938. A Freemason created the character of Superman in comic book in 1938. Superman was to exemplify the Rosicrucian notion of man to become as God. That was what man was all about from the very beginning. The superheroes and all that is to simulate the hierarchy that's yet to come in disclosure. Man to become as a god. When I saw this thing about Archie and him dying because he protected openly gay golly. So let me show you how they do it again. Watch this. This is so cowardly. I told you all in 1897, they created the Zionist movement. Well, I will read you out of Theodore Herzl's own diary the real purpose of Zionism. And this applies not only to homosexuality and the way they're doing this, but also applies to all these movements. And in Theodore Herzl's own diary. Let me get to it here in a minute. He says, okay, first of all, the term Zionism, or you could replace it with feminism, or you could replace it with the gay marriage movement, whatever. But Zionism was first introduced in 1893 by Nathan Birnbaum. But see, Theodor Herzl, he was an Austrian Jew, born to emancipated Budapest family. He's recognized officially as the founder of the Zionist ideology. He published a book in 1896 called The Jewish State. He declared that the cure for anti-Semitism, or anti-homosexual, anti-whatever it is, it's a principle, anti-Semitism here, was the establishment of a Jewish state. Okay? As he saw it, the best place to establish the state was in Palestine. And while Herzl claimed the establishment of the Jewish state would cure anti-Semitism, he also promoted anti-Semitism to further his cause. And here's the principle of it. And he quotes, and I state, it is essential that the suffering of the Jews, that the suffering of the children, for example, the suffering of the homosexuals, the suffering of whatever target it is, but in this case, essential for the sufferings of the Jews, become worse. This will assist in realization of our plans. I have an excellent idea. I shall induce anti-Semites to liquidate Jewish wealth. And the anti-Semites, the ones that hate the Jews, the anti-Semites, KKK, Christian Identity, okay, the anti-Semites will assist us, thereby that they will strengthen the persecution and oppression of the Jews. The anti-Semites shall be our best friends. Now, that was from his diary, part 1, page 16. Now, Benny Morris, an Israeli historian, he described how Herzl here foresaw how anti-Semitism could be harnessed to realize and see through Zionism. He stated, and I quote, Herzl regarded Zionism's triumph as inevitable, not only because life in Europe was ever more untenable for Jews, but also because it was Europe's interest to rid the Jews and be relieved of anti-Semitism. So the European political establishment would eventually be persuaded to promote Zionism. Herzl recognized that anti-Semitism would be harnessed to his own Zionist purposes. Righteous Victims, page 21. Now, weren't that sneaky? Yeah. So, the Ashkenazi Nazis, they created the impression that the world is full of anti-Semites. The world is full of, say, anti-homosexuals. The world is full of anti-feminism. You see how it works? So, this brings pity to the Jews. It brings pity to the homosexuals. It brings pity to whatever targeted group it is. Frightens some of the honest Jews into either fleeing to Israel or working with the Zionists. And it justifies, here's the number one, and it justifies hate crime legislation to protect the poor innocent Jews. It justifies, for example, hate crime legislation to protect the homosexuals, to protect whoever that they're using. This is a principle they use. See, the Zionists also created hundreds of organizations to defend them from the Nazis, thereby allowing Zionists to provide the solution to the problem that they actually created. Now, that's just only Zionism. This is how they fool us. This is how it's working. Perfectly. You know, British Prime Minister Benjamin Disraeli in 1876, he said, quote, the governments of the present day, 1876, have to deal not merely with other governments, but emperors, kings, and ministers, but also with the secret societies, which have everywhere their unscrupulous agents and can, at the last moment, upset all the government's plans, unquote. Man, I got tons of this stuff here. Tons of this knowledge. Tons of this, how these people pull this mess off. It's when people are going to wake up of the reality of what the headlines are saying. Now let's go back to Helen Keller. Now you see, this is what drives this New World Order, is satanic influence. I talked about this an hour and a half ago, showing you how this is all brought together. It's an allegiance to Satan. It's not a mere coincidence. You got everybody from Palin, Obama, Clinton, Bush, Kerry, family. They have nothing about America in their system. None of them. I mean, not one of them. Has nothing to do with their religion or with their skin color, all that stuff, or Republican, Democrat. Has to do with their allegiance to Satan, to Lucifer. That's what that's what matters to them the most. It is becoming massive. Including the Islamic leaders or Freemasons. Family, it's just rampant. Now, this incident in Houston, Texas. It's a surefire either sacrifice or hoax. I don't know which one it was. But it was definitely for satanic worship. And we'll show you here. Listen to this report. And especially, keep in mind, this young girl had experienced getting shot in the head. Her family completely wiped out. And she's smiling and grinning and shooting up the satanic Baphomet. And this is what she says at the end. Here we go. In a minute here. Well, maybe less than a minute.
Heroic sole survivor of the horrific family massacre in Texas. The courageous teen who played dead to escape her uncle's shooting rampage is now speaking out for the first time since the tragedy. And ABC's Mara Scavacampo is here with the details. Mara.
Viana, that teen, Cassidy Stay, spoke at a memorial service for her family Saturday. Hundreds of friends and neighbors gathered for that celebration of life just blocks from the family's home where that awful attack took place.
We love you, Cassidy!
At her family's memorial service, just hours after being released from the hospital, 15-year-old Cassidy Stay, accompanied by the very grandparents she is credited with saving, flashed a brave smile, her healing just beginning.
I'm really thankful for all of the people that have been praying for me and keeping me and my family in their thoughts.
Less than 1 week ago, the Houston area teen survived the unthinkable, her entire family killed.
I know that my mom, dad, Brian, Emily, Becca, and Zach are in a much better place, and that I'll be able to see them again one day.
33-year-old Ron Haskell faces capital murder charges, accused of fatally shooting Cassidy's parents and four siblings, allegedly because they wouldn't tell him where to find his ex-wife, Cassidy's aunt. He has not entered a plea.
I've not personally in 40 years seen a tragedy in one family that's this horrific.
Friday, Haskell collapsed several times during a hearing and had to be wheeled out of court. Officials say Cassidy only survived the attack by playing dead and is hailed as a hero for quickly alerting police. Haskell was allegedly headed for her maternal grandparents' home.
We continue to be in awe how she was able to save us.
At Saturday's memorial, hundreds of balloons were released skyward in support of the Stay family and one very strong young girl.
I really like Harry Potter. Dumbledore says, happiness can be found even in the darkest of times if one only remembers to turn on the light.
Cassidy Stay illuminating the crowd with a powerful message on behalf of her family.
Stay strong.
Holding up the sign language gesture for love.
Now, as for that case against Haskell, his lawyer is reportedly considering a mental illness defense. A GoFundMe page has been set up to help cover the family's expenses. That's the Cassidy Stay family's expenses and Cassidy as well. So far, more than 4,000 people have donated more than $200,000. Such a remarkably brave young woman in the face of an unthinkable tragedy.
The entire community rallying behind her in support as well. It's great to see her.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mara.
Thanks, guys.
Harry Potter? Where'd that come from? And then she says, thank you. She raises up the satanic Baphomet. Family, something's not right here. Not right at all. Helen Keller was a disciple of Helena Blavatsky. She is a member of the Theosophy Club. She is a theosophist. She followed closely the belief of Satanism. And she made that sign what means, I love you, Satan. And you can find it yourself. I mean, you can look it up, and it's unbelievable. And that shows your allegiance to Satan and sacrifice. And this is what drives everything today. And that's what it's all about, unfortunately. Now, you can look all this up, I'm telling you, and to see how this works. Romans 16, verse 18. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. You find it all the movies and all this. So all this is part of this, part and partial to this agenda, this Luciferian conspiracy I've been talking about for so long. It's what is behind it. This entire satanic sacrifice system. Entirely. The New Age movement. All this is connected. Total population control is how they get people to accept it. Student was expelled from college after a gay marriage. So he gets a gay marriage and the college expels him. Anti-Semitism. Anti-gayism. You see how they do it? So he'll go with the NAACP and they'll sue that college. Then the Freemason judge will go along with the program and say, okay, and now set a precedence. That's how they do it. Two police officers are tied to the KKK in Florida. Oh, quite a few more than that. Police officers in LAPD in 1972-73 were going to assassinate Spiro Agnew, as detailed by the CIA, during the Nixon takeover. It was supposed to be a dictatorship in 1972-74. He was working with General Cushman, Nixon was. They were going to assassinate Spiro Agnew. This is confirmed. A unit from the LAPD was going to assassinate Spiro Agnew. Family, they've infiltrated all the police departments. This is my point. You even have an Indiana marriage law is discriminatory. U.S. court says in ruling for humanist. And the Burger King introduces this gay pride whopper in San Francisco. Family, it is all around us. And the homosexuals, they don't realize that they're being used for their own destruction. Now, don't go just for them. You got those that call out hatred for homosexuals that are Baptist ministers, some of them, like Steven Anderson. Spitting venom, hate. They work for the Illuminati. Whether they know it or not, they do. Why? Because when they bring out that hate, just like Lindsay, Terry Jones. Remember Terry Jones, that so-called backwood preacher in Florida? No. He was P2, high level. High level. Trained in Germany for 30 years. Come back to pretend to be a low-level backwoods preacher that was burning Korans. So here's how they trick it. Here's how it works. If they attack the Muslims, then the Muslims will dig in, and as the control group would then start the attacks, that would be the justification. It's called a dialectic. That's how they work. So by this Stephen Anderson, for example, spitting out venom that's just unbelievable against, well, ought to kill gays and all this and all that. That causes association with all Christians. Same thing with Westboro Baptist Church. They work for the Freemasons. They have a link with Arnold Murray's Christian Identity crew. See, that's why it's always Westboro. With these things, what it does is cause association with you that you're trying to preach a gospel to be negatively looked at. That's why. It's called the dialectic. So they pretend to be on your side, and they're not at all. It's called a fifth column strategy. Enemy from the inside. Oh, it works really well. A lot of this is complicated. It makes you tired sometimes to go over it, but I very seldom get tired of it, but this is how they work this. It's been going on for generations, family. For generations. Population control. On the long term. They lose. Because Jesus Christ has won on the cross of Calvary. That's my main point to make. Because you find, well, what can we do? We don't know what to do. Well, Jesus does. It is a supernatural war that we're in. CNN founder Ted Turner said, and I quote, a total world population of 250, 300 million people, a 95% decline from present levels would be ideal. MIT professor Penny Chrisom, quote, the real trick is in terms of trying to level off at someplace lower than 9 billion, is to get the birth rates in developing countries to drop as fast as we can, and that will determine the level at which humans will level off on Earth. Colorado State University professor Philip Cafaro, in a paper entitled Climate Ethics and Population Policy, ending human population growth is almost certainly a necessary but not sufficient condition for preventing catastrophic global climate change. Indeed, significantly reducing current human numbers may be necessary in order to do so, unquote. As a matter of fact, the Humanist Manifesto, in one of their tenets, they say that, quote, believe the family, traditional family must be eliminated in order to attain world peace. Man, they're after the families. Planned Parenthood founder Margaret Sanger said, and I quote, all of our problems are the result of overbreeding among the working class. Margaret Sanger, Planned Parenthood founder, said, and I quote, the most merciful thing that the large family does to one of its infant members is to kill it, unquote. Family, do you all know what you're dealing with up there at the highest level? They're all involved in this. Most all of them. I got like 30 quotes from Mikhail Gorbachev, Jacques Cousteau, Prince Philip, all these, you understand how high this goes. Fact is, they will not succeed, but they're going to be succeeding in reducing the population, but which side are you going to be on? It's a supernatural war. It's a supernatural war. No one can defeat the creator of this world. But they're trying their level best to keep us distracted, confused, following the wrong Pied Piper. You don't follow Pied Piper. Follow Jesus Christ. This is the bottom line. Y'all ever heard of Gramsci? He's an Italian communist theoretician, Antonio Gramsci. Gramsci, I think I say it's pronounced. In any totalitarian state, the oppressed always outnumber the oppressors. These regimes are built upon the threat and practice of terror. It is impossible to create institutions of state of terror that can control all the subjects all the time. So, his planning, the would-be tyrants would seek to dominate entire populations. What they had to do was devise some means of inducing their victims to enslave themselves. Now, this technique, this methodology, is actually quoted by several people. Van Gogh even talks about it, about how to control a nation, how to control a people. It actually parrots what he said. For example, Dresden James said, "The ideal tyranny is that which is ignorantly self-administered by its victims. The most perfect slaves are therefore those who blissfully and unawarely enslave themselves," Dresden James. And Johann Wolfgang von Goethe said, and I quote, "No one is more of a slave than he who thinks himself free without being so." So, you ever heard of Aldous Huxley? He is also author of the classic anti-totalitarian novel Brave New World. Now, what he said was, he explained the most efficient totalitarian system would be the one in which the rulers would control a population of slaves who do not have to be coerced because they love their servitude, unquote. How did he propose to do that? Watch this. He said the population in this state was controlled by the use of sex, drugs, rapid entertainment, vapid entertainment, government-generated slogans, and manufactured social fads. And you had a Russian anti-communist, Alexander Zinov. He's a world-renowned author. He described how the West, particularly us, the United States, is descending into a totalitarian culture of the sort predicted by Huxley. Quote, "It's enough to switch on the TV set, to go to the movies, to open a bestseller, to listen to the ambiguous music," complained Zinoing. In the July 24th, 1999 issue of France, Le Figaro, and you'll find them propagating this cult of sex, violence, and money. Noble slogans about tolerance and respect for others, are concealing these three pillars of totalitarian democracy, unquote. Sex, violence, and money. And that's what you see today. You know, they'd planned that power cannot be seized, they knew, through the sudden imposition of a total dictatorship. Won't happen. But what you do instead, it's got to be obtained through the process of patient gradualism. In other words, a persistent subversion of your institutions and incremental consolidation of power over the long term. And so, that's where Antonio Gramsci comes in. See, he understood the creation of the total state required the seizure of the mediating institutions. And these institutions insulated the individual from the power of the government. And what did they include? The family, organized religion, and so forth. And so a systematic redefinition of the culture in order to sustain the new political order, it was to capture the culture. Now, what did those rascals, I call them rascals, what did those rascals, Rockefellers, do? Now, I may cover this some tomorrow as well. I see the time slipping away here because I got a lot to cover. And you say, well, why do we need to talk about this? Well, it's to know how they set this thing up, to know what to pray against, what bills to go against, which ones to slow down, like the euthanasia bill in Oregon. Nobody's ever talking about that. Where's the movements to stop it? Where's the NAACP stopping that thing? Capture the culture. The Rockefellers worked on that very well because the money that the Rockefellers gained control of the media, 1915, actually 1921, they gained control of the media. And that's where you get the newspapers, TV, that controls a culture. So with the media, the family gained control over the public opinion. When I say they gained control over the media, the Council of Foreign Relations controls all the media. The Council of Foreign Relations was formed by the Rockefellers. Ah. And then through the media, the family gained control over public opinion. Just like these articles I've been reading to you about. Like the TV programs. Like this news. Gain control over public opinion. By hoaxes that's put on TV. By real events called false flags that's occurred that for people actually die. But they're done for a reason. So, with control over public opinion, then they gain control of politics. The ones in politicians, the politicians are in blood oaths. Others are threatened and warned. You better do this or this is going to happen to you. And controlling the politics, they took control of the nation. In a lot of cases, they did it quietly, not to arouse any suspicion. They even confirmed it in 1991 in a quote. Amazing, isn't it? Now, capture the culture. Rudy Dutschke described the process as a long march through the institutions. The Marxist conquest of universities, schools, the news media, entertainment, churches, other religious bodies, tax-exempt foundations, and other key institutions. Do you hear what I said? The Marxist conquest by Rudy Dutschke. Well, old Rudy is telling the truth. Because in 1930, Charles Francis Potter said, and I quote, slam dunk, quote, begin, education is thus the most powerful ally of humanism. Every American public school is a school of humanism, unquote. He said, well, that's 1930. Well, let's fast forward 57 years. For continuity purposes. In 1987, Herbert London of New York University said, and I quote, the strides made by Marxism at American universities in the last two decades are breathtaking. Every discipline has been affected by its preachment. That's Marxism and socialism. And almost every faculty now counts among its members a resident Marxist scholar, unquote. Well, you say, well, that's just one person. And I'll say, okay, how about Roger Kimball? ask and tell, right? Ask and answer. At the same time, Roger Kimball, two years later, 1989, Roger Kimball, educator, said, and I quote, "With a few notable exceptions, our most prestigious liberal arts colleges and universities install the entire radical menu," that would be Marxism and humanist, "at the center of the humanities curriculum at both undergraduate and graduate levels," unquote. How about syndicated columnist under Clinton, Georgia Ann Geyer? She said, and I quote, "Percentage of Marxist faculty numbers can range from estimated 90% in some Midwestern universities," unquote. Family, I got a half a dozen more. I read y'all Chester Pierce's quote. Bertrand Russell. I mean, it just goes and goes. There's just too many that confirm exactly what I've said. That the Rudy Dutschke, D-U-T-S-C-H-K-E, the long march through the institutions is a process, that the Marxist conquest of universities, schools, the news media, entertainment, churches, and other religious bodies, tax-exempt foundations, and other key institutions is how they're doing it. And so the success of this Gramscian cultural assault upon America, which really began through Tavistock, think tank in London, was Michael Wazer in the winter of 1996 issue of the Marxist Journal of Dissent. You see, they had evidence that the revolutionary left is winning the Gramscian War of Position. And he approvingly cited, among other developments, the visible impact of feminism, the effects of affirmative action. Now, I can tell you something about that. Let's cross connect it. This is how I do things. I find other connections that's not connected to it, like his references or whatever, to see if it matches. He's talking about affirmative action. Well, that's exactly what they did. That's what Ruth Bader Ginsburg did. See, Ruth Bader Ginsburg sent a U.S. commission, a report to the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights in 1977, and based on her previous court opinions, stated that the federal government, this in order to divide the families, in 1977, she said the federal government should provide comprehensive child care. That means to get the children out of the homes. She also said in this recommendation for U.S. Commission on Civil Rights, 1977, Ruth Bader Ginsburg said, change the homestead law to provide double benefits to couples who don't live together as to husband and wife who do live together, to get them to live apart. That was to split the families and the marriages. Now listen to this one. To draft women into the military and then assign them to combat duty and then apply affirmative action to the armed forces in order to equalize the number of men and women. That was to eliminate traditional feminine roles and divide the military services. Joint Chief of Staff were sitting on their hands, because they know exactly what's going on. Because a lot of them are Knights of Malta or Freemasons or Shriners or whatever. And they're part of this conspiracy. They're part of this treachery and pretending to be patriots. They lost it somewhere as majors or colonels or somewhere they lost it. They lost their humanity. And they have families. That's dangerous. Panetta fulfilled this objective in June of last year when they had women not working combat roles, but then in June of 2013, Panetta lifted the ban, and the Marine Corps started bringing women into combat units, training them for, first of all, artillery, frontline units. Can you imagine? And it worked perfectly to divide and separate the military forces. You had like 11,000 sexual assaults of men to women. You had 15,000 sexual assaults of men to men. The idea of bringing the gays in the military, 1993 by Clinton, was all planned out. And either Bush or Obama would then lift the ban, lift the don't ask, don't tell, and say, now you can tell since you're in. Male-to-male sexual assaults increased exponentially. That was the purpose of it all along. And another thing Ruth Bader Ginsburg said to do, and they're doing it now, is eliminate the traditional family concept of the husband as a breadwinner, wife as homemaker, and integrate all male, all female organizations, such as Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, fraternities, and sororities. And that was to eliminate traditional male roles. That was the purpose of it. That's going on now. Transgender and Boy Scouts, that's all part of it. And everybody's just letting it happen. Even them, the gays that's in it, are being used as pawns in a bigger game. And I'm going to cover some more of this tomorrow and show you how they're creeping up on you. What's this mean? It means they're getting close to bringing in that new world order. That's my point. To show you how close they are. This is not just something out in the public. They've been doing this for decades and generations. And to know that they fail. But in the meantime, they're going to be a burr under your saddle. And not get pulled away with all these discussions and talks that, like immigration and all that, that's being used for this purpose and not for what it's bringing in mafia guys, it's bringing in the Chinese military, it's bringing in significant people among these children or so, disguised, they come in, they disappear. They're taking diseases back, bringing diseases here. Never let an instant go unused. It's another methodology that they use. There's certain principles that I'll talk about tomorrow of how they enslave, how they've done it to us. And one of them, besides creating and controlling opposing forces, was never letting an incident go unused. And that's what they're doing. And I think Emmanuel said that never let a crisis go to waste. The Bolsheviks used this. Use every crisis as to the maximum fulfillment of carrying out your agenda. Start off with the Marxists. Bolsheviks, funded by Wall Street. Anyway, we'll talk about this tomorrow in more detail, some cases that's coming up. We're coming into the program today. Tonight we got Bible study at 7:30 to 9. And let y'all know that we're played up at highpointradio.net by John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, John Kirkler, New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Let you know we're up there. He plays us randomly on his network. My website is watchforjesus.com. And I use it primarily for my broadcasting. I've got some studies there that are quite extensive, actually. And Facebook is Watchmen for Jesus. Visit it as well. And family, we'll see you all tomorrow, or tonight, Bible study, 7:30 to 9 on this website that you're at now. You have to come to my website, though, for that, not talk stream live. And tomorrow, 4 o'clock, we'll continue with this talk of total population control. I try to bring you as much information as I can so you can research it yourself. and you can trace down my own sources and some of your own. That's the whole idea, is you do your own research and find out, or check mine out, so it becomes yours. Y'all have a good night. And family, know that you've won it because of the cross of Calvary. He won. You see? That's what it all boils down to. It's not leaving the grid. It's not being able to survive off the land. How many people do you think can do that? I mean, seriously. And they've already got it planned in the first place. Family, it's all supernatural what's going on today. I tried to draw that connection today to show you how it's connected to the supernatural and how they've got these events all staged out and fixed up and working on it and so forth, but they still lose. Keep that in mind. That witnessing about Jesus is number one among all, everything. And we're getting close because these signs of the times are letting you know what they've done already. They're exposing their dark side, which means, oh, here comes the other side of the dialectic. We're close to the end times events and tribulations. They are down the road. But first comes the Antichrist. 7 years later, then comes Jesus, the real Jesus. Don't be fooled. Family, y'all have a good night. Live in truth and live in life and no fear of death. And that comes with taking Jesus Christ as your Savior. There's no fear of death. Have a good night. God bless. This is The Watchman, signing off.
I fell down on my knees and I just clung to him and cried. Then he raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, the love was shining out from him like sunlight from the sky. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet relief. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.